Everyone knows the game hide and seek. Everyone hides, one person seeks, and the whole point of the game is to not be found. In high school, though, my friends and I, we like to play a variation on the game called Sardines. But the point of Sardines is to be found. One person hides, and then everybody goes to seek this one person. And when they find that person, they join in the hiding place until pretty much the whole group is crammed into a hiding place like sardines in a can. And this can be, I think, this game can be a helpful image considering our quest for God. We're all seeking him. We think we know where we can find him, but he chooses his hiding place. We want to find God easily. We think that we know where he ought to be, but that's not how it works. The question is, where does God want to be found? In commenting on our gospel passage today, St. Augustine said that the stormy waves crashing into the boat are persecutions of the church. And make no mistake, brothers and sisters, the church is being persecuted here in our own country. I'm not talking about reduced numbers at Mass. There are reduced numbers everywhere, and some businesses won't make it through this because of that. We're all in the same boat together in that area. But no, I'm talking about hatred and violence against the church. Thankfully, for us, this is a small-scale persecution. Compared to our brothers and sisters elsewhere around the world, who are quite possibly being martyred this very morning. But for us, recently, we've seen vandalism of churches, statues of saints and the Blessed Mother being beheaded, and churches being intentionally set on fire. In the midst of all of this, it's tempting to want God to come and show his power and glory in some grand way and to set things right. But when Elijah sought God, he wasn't in the strong wind that was able to crush rocks. He wasn't in the earthquake. And he wasn't in the fire. If we're only seeking God in some great manifestation to fix our crazy world, brothers and sisters, we won't find him there. Occasionally throughout history, he does show himself in this way, but that's not his usual mode. God chooses where he will be found. And where does he choose? In the still, small voice. One of the benefits of the lockdown was that it blocked out at least some of the noise of the world. We were able to reconnect with great and mysterious silence. The noise of the world assaults our souls and makes it difficult to hear the still, small voice of God. Cardinal Seurat recently wrote a book where he even called it a dictatorship of noise, which we fight against by cultivating silence. Some people really struggle with silence. I get this. We're not used to it. I was in seminary with a guy who is the loudest, most extroverted person I have ever met, and at the end of our first silent retreat, he said, "I hated it." But a few years later, he had come to love them. He just wasn't used to it at first. And if you're not used to silence, it can be hard. But for some people, it's different. It's not simply that they're not used to silence, but I think that some people actually fight against it. They struggle with silence and they fight against it. And for these people, I think they struggle with silence for two reasons. They're afraid of themselves, or God isn't personal to them. To avoid encountering the ugliness of our brokenness, or to avoid staring into the abyss of faith, these people run to distractions to take their minds off of the difficult questions. But God, he's not like a ghost, like the apostles originally cried out. He's not a phantasm. He's real. And he wants us to seek him in silence. It's in the silence where he tells us that our brokenness isn't ugly, and that he wants to heal us. It's in the silence where he speaks to us words of peace and words of strength. Working to cultivate this silence helps us to hear that still, small voice of God. Cutting back screen time, turning off the radio when you're driving, it goes a long way. Then we aren't assaulted by advertisements. We aren't filled with panic by our current yellow journalism that puts forth making money off of outrageous headlines. And we aren't moved to anger by all of the vitriol that masquerades as legitimate political discourse. Cut it back. Cut it out. Turn it off. And you will find peace. And this isn't to say avoid everything. We still have to be aware of what's going on around us. But how much of what we see and hear these days is really, truly important? And how much of it is just trying to vie for our attention? My first year in seminary is something called the spirituality year. And in that, you partake of a media fast. No TV, no radio, no magazines, no newspapers for the year. But the house father, he would let us know when anything really important happened. Over the course of that year, there was the Boston Marathon bombing, Pope Benedict's abdication, and then we were able to watch TV on election night and read the papers the next day. Three items of true great importance in the course of a whole year. So much else is just noise. Instead of filling our minds and hearts with this noise, if we spend time doing spiritual reading, spending time listening to uplifting music, reading classical literature that causes us to examine the human condition anew. And then, of course, spending time in actual silence. Spending time in prayer. Being with God in the gentle silence of the Adoration Chapel. If we cultivate this silence, then we will be able to hear, again, God's still, small voice. We'll be seeking God where he chooses to be found.